Shop Woodhouse Mazda first and experience the Woodhouse difference. At Woodhouse Mazda, we make car buying simple. From the Mazda CX-9 to the Mazda 3, we are sure to have something that fits your needs. Visit one of our two convenient locations in Omaha to shop our showroom or take a test drive.
All right, here we go with the weekend upcoming college football, and that includes the Big Ten, which is a phrase that I didn't think we'd be saying as we locked in Brett Ciancia from Pick Six Previews for another year. Finally, it's here. There's a lot of excitement around the Big Ten. There's a lot of intrigue. How is this Friday treating you, my man?
Hey, Gary. Yeah, thanks for having me on. I was cracking up. I've been doing Twitter for 8 years, and that might have been one of the best tweets I've ever seen that that corn cob that was cracking me up, and pretty much sums up the whole state, I'm sure, with the Big Ten kicking off tonight and Nebraska back tomorrow.
Thank you. Some people don't get it, but you get it. That's why I like you, and that's why you're on the show. Hey, before we do a deep dive into the Big Ten, let's start with, and I'm glad you brought this up earlier in the week. It's a game, and the Big Ten's getting all of the attention, and rightfully so. They're back, and they've got some key matchups. But a game that I think is one of the headliners of tomorrow is a pretty important game for a conference and two teams that are playing, and that's Iowa State, Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State has been off because of COVID and a bye since the 3rd of October. Iowa State's bounced back from their loss to Louisiana. They've beaten TCU. They've beaten Oklahoma. They have Breece Hall. Oklahoma State's got a great defense, but you could say, man, who have they played? This has the feeling of a playoff eliminator in Stillwater tomorrow. Let's start in the Big 12. What do you think unfolds in that 2:30 Central kick?
Yeah, I think this is a game that's not really getting enough national hype at all. In fact, you wouldn't even know it's happening the way a lot of these guys are talking. It probably won't even be talked about on game day, I'm sure. But it's a great one. And really, I think the winner of this game puts themselves likely into the Big 12 title game. When you look at Oklahoma and Texas already with two losses each, TCU with two losses, and then, this Iowa State already with a tiebreaker over Oklahoma, and this game will go a long way. I'm a 4-0 team in the Big 12 in conference play, so I think it's massive there. When you look at it, the Big 12 you think of as an offensive conference, really creative on offense. These two have been doing it with defense recently. Iowa State with Haycock, their D coordinator, very creative with 5 DB and 6 DB sets. And then you have Oklahoma State on defense. They're number one in the country yards per play. And, yeah, I know that it's been Kansas and Tulsa, but they have West Virginia on there too, who's has a winning record so far. And Oklahoma State's defense really dates back to last year. Their last six games in 2019, they held all their opponents below scoring averages. So that now is nine straight opponents they've held under average. And over that span, 8-1 against the spread. So the bettors out there, it's Oklahoma State's trending in the right direction. And then lastly, on offense, Brock Purdy is the headliner. He's the veteran. But really, he's below average quarterback rating so far. It's been a slower start than we'd expect. It's really Oklahoma State's new starter, Inglesworth, who's number six nationally in quarterback rating. So two great running backs, too. So, yeah, it's got all the works. I'm really excited for this one.
And Brock Purdy is 8-1 in October. That's why they call it Brocktober. But on the other side, do you have any idea who's going to be playing quarterback for Oklahoma State?
Yeah, I think it'll be Inglesworth still. And he's been really strong, top 10 in a lot of metrics. And, because I think Spencer Sanders, he got injured in the opener. I haven't heard what his status is going forward. They've been okay without him. Really, the issue with Oklahoma State that I'm shocked about and what we would have expected better from is their offensive line and their run game. You're talking about Chuba Hubbard, a 2,000-yard back last year, and was a Heisman candidate, I'd say, for 2020, but really hasn't gotten going, and they're not getting a run push. Again, that was against three pretty soft defenses, two soft defenses with Kansas and Tulsa. So not being able to move the ball on the ground is definitely alarming. We'll see if that's going to hurt against a real defense, Iowa State.
You have a feeling that Oklahoma will grow from the Red River shootout, Spencer Rattler, that defense. They have to go to Fort Worth to take on a very fast TCU team that is well coached. Oklahoma's nearly a touchdown favorite in that game. Do you think Oklahoma wins in an early kick?
Yeah, I think that game goes a long way. The Texas win for their, you know, their psyche as a team, but also Spencer Rattler as their starter, a freshman. I'm sure he was taking a lot of heat after the two losses. You know, he's actually played decently, some turnovers, some freshman mistakes, but overall you can see the glimpses of excellence to come. So, yeah, I think the thing that stands out the most about it is the total points in the game. I think it's a total of 59 points, and both these offenses are, you know, I think combined they average 69 points and they're playing against each other's defenses, which both have looked pretty weak. Oklahoma with the missed tackles. TCU is bottom five in yards per play. So I think there'll be scoring. It'll be a Big 12 shootout type. And I think Oklahoma gets it done though in the end.
Let's shift now to the ACC. There's one game that I'm looking at, and I'm looking at the line. Notre Dame last week against Louisville, I don't know what was happening. You know, I didn't expect that kind of a score. Notre Dame's got a good offensive line. Of course, they have Ian Book. I don't know how many playmakers, established playmakers, they have at wide receiver. And I'm just perplexed on how much struggles Notre Dame has in the red zone. They got to go and play Pittsburgh, who, you know, Pittsburgh isn't playing great. But if you look, two of their three losses, I think, are each by a point. Pittsburgh can play good defense. Notre Dame's about a 10.5 to an 11-point favorite. I think Notre Dame wins the game, but I like Pittsburgh getting points in this game. How do you see this one unfolding at Heinz Field?
Yeah, so you talked about the 1-point losses, and Pittsburgh over the last decade actually leads the country in that category in 1-point losses. Uh-huh. And also leads the country in 1-score losses. So you're talking about a program that's very close. They just can't get over the hump, but they're close. And specifically, their defense is really what carries them. If you watch any of their game tape, they actually lead the country in sacks. They lead the country in tackles for loss. It's an explosive defensive line, and that'll be one of the best position matchups of the weekend, Notre Dame's O-line versus Pitt's D-line. And because, like you said, Notre Dame does have a top 15 unit there. So look at strength on strength. I think the other side of the ball is where this game will be determined, because Pittsburgh's offense has really struggled. There's a rotating quarterback. They think Kenny Pickett's been injured. They have nothing going on offense. So, and meanwhile, Notre Dame's defense is pretty strong. So even if those two lines are awash on the Notre Dame offensive line versus the Pitt D line, I think Notre Dame has the definite advantage on the other side of the ball. So I think they bounce back, and we'll see. We'll see if they cover 10.5. That's tough, but I think Notre Dame's a better team overall.
Hey, are you taking with the points Clemson giving up 46 or Syracuse getting 46?
Yeah, that's the highest line we've seen of the year between Power 5 teams. You know, it would be probably a record if not for last year's famous Ohio State-Rutgers game, where it was a 52-point spread in the Big Ten football game. Unbelievable. So I'm going to follow that track record. You know, Ohio State couldn't cover that 52, so I might shy away from a 46-point line. You know, I don't think we see another 73-7 like last week against Georgia Tech, but you never know when Clemson's going to just light it up like crazy. So I would avoid that one, though.
Hey, North Carolina State, North Carolina. What happened to North Carolina last Saturday night in Tallahassee?
Yeah, so, you know, I had the accuracy title since 2012. We like to talk about the good, but I got to be honest and humble with the bad. And I was on the radio all last week, all across the country, talking how good UNC is, talking about their offense and how the defense has made improvements. And, man, that was a whiff. They came out so flat against Florida State. Got to credit Florida State, too. Out of nowhere, they started clicking. They were putting up points. But really what happened within the game was UNC struggled in the red zone. They struggled on fourth down. They were 0-3 on fourth down. Couldn't get a yard when they needed it. Let Florida State hang around. And then when the game was on the line in the final minute, they had three key drops. So, and that was from a pretty shorthanded receiving core. So just an overall collapse there. And never saw that one coming. And that was a team I was very, very high on. Had them number two. I was considering them above Notre Dame even. But now, I don't know. We'll see if they can get it corrected. I think NC State is without their starting quarterback, Devin Leary. We'll monitor that and see. But I think UNC bounces back.
Hey, who did we learn more about last Saturday night in Tuscaloosa, Georgia or Alabama?
I think we learned a little bit more about Georgia, that that they're not really playoff caliber yet. The defense, they can hang around for a quarter or a half, but really as the whole game goes on with no help from their offense, they start to collapse. And what I equated it to with Alabama was just a team that was heating up you know, like an old three-point shooter really heating up. Once they start hitting those deep balls, it's you know, they start laying on the scoreboard and pulling away. And if the opposing offense can't keep pace, then you start to see these blowouts. So with Stetson Bennett, I think he's serviceable. I think he can hit some intermediate throws here and there, but he doesn't have the vertical passing that some of these great playoff contenders have. You saw the same thing happen with Georgia against LSU last year in that SEC title game. It was close in the first quarter. Defense looked okay, and then, you know, it was bombs away, and they couldn't have the offense to match. So I think they're still a quarterback away from contending for playoff titles, and until then, they're still in that 10-win range.
What's the biggest fear if you're going against Alabama from here on out, trying to slow down that offense? Mac Jones, Najee Harris, or those two incredible wide receivers?
I think it's the receivers. They are just on their own speed tier. I don't know how else to say it. They're just playing on a different speed. And all it takes, that's the thing. With a good run game, it's kind of, you know, 6 yards a pop, and they slowly move down the field. But with this vertical passing, all it takes is one hit, and there's seven, a quick seven. I think against Georgia, it was either tied or close in there to start the second half, and they connect on a 90-yard touchdown. And just in the blink of an eye, it's now a two-score game, and the floodgates are opening. So those go routes, those vertical passing really can just blow up a game. And they have a quarterback with Mac Jones that can get it done now, just like Tua did for most of his career. And, there's no Alabama looks like the strength of the SEC and a playoff favorite right now.
Hey, everybody's schedule kind of got all moved around, but one thing remained the same is the third Saturday in October is Alabama-Tennessee, and you celebrate with a victory cigar. Tennessee is really letting me down. They played Georgia, and Georgia took care of them, but they laid a major egg at home against Kentucky last week. Now they're three-touchdown underdogs in Knoxville against Alabama. You have any hope or any feel on if Tennessee, not to win the game, Brett, but that they'll bounce back and keep this competitive?
You know, 2 weeks ago I would have said yes, and I would have even considered a possible outright win the way that Tennessee was forecasted in the preseason, how they looked the first couple weeks, and then how Alabama had struggled against Ole Miss on defense. But really these last 2 weeks have flipped the script for both programs. Alabama now looks complete. They have probably the best offense in the country right now and a defense that's starting to get up to speed. With Tennessee, what they were supposed to be was a very physical team and a big offensive line and a big front seven, and those just aren't getting it done. Jared Garantano has issues at quarterback. He's, turnover issues. I think it was two straight pick sixes and then a third, a fumble, to start that Kentucky game. And, that's not going to cut it, and especially against Alabama. So I would take Alabama with three touchdowns.
And now
just the way these two teams are trending.
All right, let's go to the Big Ten. And there's a game that I've been staring at all week. Indiana is a 6.5-point underdog. They have Penn State coming to town. Indiana has played Penn State well the last couple of years. Penn State lost some key players on defense. Journey Brown's not going to be there. They still got Sean Clifford. They still have an abundance of talent. I know a program that you hear a lot about, Penn State. First, Brett, what's keeping Penn State away from being an elite team?
Well, it's unfortunate for them that they have Ohio State stuck in their division. I mean, that's just when you look at some of these other SEC West programs, they have Alabama stuck next to them. So, first off, they have the Ohio State hurdle, and that's, you know, the best recruiter in the nation, one of the best coaching staff. So they have them right there in their backyard in the recruiting grounds. They just haven't been able to click overall. They can't get over that hump. They had two great chances in 2017 and 2018. They held big halftime leads for Ohio State and fourth quarter leads, and then collapsed in the fourth quarter. So I would blame not being able to go the full 60 minutes against Ohio State until last year, which was a total Ohio State domination, despite what the score 28-17 would suggest. It was really all Ohio State. So they have a ways to go. I think fixing their offense might help, but we'll see how quickly that coordinator can implement changes. It takes some time, and we've seen new coordinators and coaches struggle so far this year without an offseason. And with Indiana, you're right. Indiana, just like Pittsburgh, is a team that's so close. If you look at Penn State, every time they go up to Bloomington, I think since 2004 mm-hmm. or 2006, it's been tight games. It's been one-score games. So I think that continues Saturday. That's a coach I was able to talk to in the preseason, Tom Allen. Really impressed by his defensive work, his 4-2-5, and now has some offensive playmakers to match. Michael Penix, very talented quarterback. You'll get to see him in a very deep receiving core. With, you guys saw him in Lincoln last year, yep, putting up a lot of passing and receiving yards. So don't want to spoil it, but we'll see maybe a possible upset on the heliport today.
See, I was just going to go there because you were rattling off. I mean, Indiana is in a good spot right now. They won 8 games last year. They return a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. I think there's some momentum, and they open up at home with Penn State, and Penn State's got to play the first game with some unknowns. I know you just kind of teased it, but I'm ready to go there. I think, you know, and we had, what, 4 ranked teams last week got upset. I think Penn State is on upset alert, major upset alert.
Yeah, a couple things to go against them. You know, the best player, Micah Parsons, is sitting out. That was a guy, I loved him on defense. He was an All-American. He's out. I saw rumors of Journey Brown, their star running back, possibly being out. We'll monitor that. Because when there's smoke, there's fire. He probably won't be 100%. It's a road game to open up. The new coordinator, which we've seen as an issue with teams, just a lot of help. And also looking back at Penn State's 2019 real quick, was they had 5 one-score wins. And in terms of predictive, you know, numbers going forward, my formula hates these one-score wins because really those are coin flips. And you see those tend to revert year over year. So I don't think that was a real 11-win team last year, and I think you're going to see it.
Let's look at the primetime game tomorrow night, Michigan and Minnesota. You and I have talked a lot about Jim Harbaugh. I'm over the contract, only has 2 years left on it. He's got to win. He's been consistent, but never more than being consistent. And there's some programs that would take consistent winning 10 games in 3 years and, you know, a couple of years where you don't win 10 games. He's got to get back to being the quarterback whisperer, whether it be with Andrew Luck, whether it be with Colin Kaepernick. He hasn't had that at Michigan. It seems like he recruits a lot of quarterbacks, Brett, but they either have belonged to somebody else when they have success, or his quarterbacks, they don't pan out. Well, now he's got a guy that kind of looks like Cam Newton the way he plays. He's got a big boy arm and Joe Milton, and his first test is Minnesota. Is Joe Milton exactly what Harbaugh needs to get Michigan to close that gap against Ohio State?
Yeah, I think it's definitely the story within the story. Obviously, when you talk Michigan and Harbaugh, the first thing that comes up is that he hasn't beaten Ohio State. Yes, that's obvious, but that's also a dynasty right now. So I think the other story within the season is really his quarterback development, like you said, and there's no more excuses. These two guys were hand-picked. It was Milton and McCaffrey, and it ends up that Milton won the battle. But both these guys were blue-chip guys and hand-picked by Harbaugh, and you got to have it click. So I think you're right. A lot of pressure there on him as a coach, on Milton as a quarterback, but really, at least for Saturday night is concerned, I really like Michigan to win. It's a more complete roster. It's more talented. They have a more proven defense year in and year out, except against Ohio State. But last I checked, this isn't Ohio State. It's Minnesota, who, I credit them. It was a nice season last year. You look at some of those wins, though, in September, they were all one-score late games against non-AQ teams. Then they played a stretch of backup quarterbacks for all of October against the Big Ten. The Penn State win was nice. Had some losses. So, I don't know. Hold on Minnesota with staying power year in and year out. I like their offense. They lose their coordinator, though, and the defense loses a ton of 3-year starters. So I think Michigan's more proven on defense. They recruited a better clip. And, they have the new O-line, the new quarterback, but I think they can be trusted more than Minnesota at this point, especially only in a 3-point spread.
I think Milton fits very well with Josh Gattis's vertical passing game. But you have any inkling on why Michigan can't recruit running backs?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's been a while, actually, when you look back, probably since Mike Hart was their last feature running back that really made it onto the national scene. I don't know. In fact, looking back on some of these years, it's like their quarterback was their best running back. Those Devin Gardner years under Rich Rod, Shoelaces, remember him, Bennett Robinson. Yep. So they've had running games, but it's been a lot of quarterback run. And we'll see. I do like this pair of running backs they have now. I think Hassan Hall might be the starter, but they have a nice pair, and I think you'll see. As long as they need their offensive line to click, that's really what's been holding back. So we'll see.
Hey, this might be apples to oranges, but is the gap between Ohio State and the next team in the Big Ten wider than the gap between Clemson and the next team in the ACC?
I think that Clemson has a bigger gap. I think that you know, especially after seeing them and UNC both play Saturday. So when you think of the ACC, some teams that you think will close for maybe Miami, UNC, Notre Dame. We already saw Clemson beat Miami by like 40 points and saw Notre Dame lay a couple of eggs already, and UNC already lost to Florida State. So I think there's a massive gap there still. With the Big Ten, I think you have a couple programs. Penn State could be close. They're at least within, you know, they're not, I think, still Ohio State. They're at least in a puncher's grasp there. You have Penn State. I don't even want to throw Michigan in yet. They got to compete against Ohio State better. Wisconsin, really, they haven't beaten Ohio State, but they've been close in first halves. They've, you know, if you're comparing Clemson versus Miami to Ohio State versus these teams, I think the Big Ten has more parity with their superpower program right now.
All right, we've waited this long 8 months to get to tomorrow. Keep it real. What do you think happens in Columbus between Ohio State and Nebraska?
Yeah, so there's no surprise. I have Ohio State in my playoff. I think that they're one of the most complete teams in the country. I think Justin Fields is probably the best quarterback in the country. He was the only returning Heisman finalist in 2019. And, you know, it's also a roster that's very hungry to play, just like Nebraska. They're both the same in that. You saw them being the most vocal by their players, their coaches. I mean, both these programs, they want to get after it, and they've been waiting for this moment. You know, so I think Ohio State's the favorite, obviously. My numbers have been by about 22 points, 24 points. You know, not much of a home field advantage like you'd have to normally go against. I think from Nebraska's angle, you want to see more of that 2018 performance where Martinez came out as a freshman. He was sharp. You know, the run game was working well, and they played some tempo and really, I think, had a lead there late. If not for a couple turnovers late, Nebraska could have gotten out of there with a win. What you don't want to see is a quick collapse in the first quarter like we had last year in the College Game Day game. You know, I think to compete with Ohio State, you want to be hanging around in that first half and get the halftime with some mojo and a close game and make some adjustments. But I think the goal will be don't get blown out in the first half and make this thing competitive. And, you know, on a bigger scale, I'm just happy for both programs because those two really led the charge nationally. Oh, sorry, not nationally, within the Big Ten to play. It was them two in Iowa. So a great day for the conference, great day for these two programs. And, you know, I wish they could have met later in the year, but I guess we got to get out of the way right away. So, I'm excited.
Well, we got seven games in the Big Ten. College football feels like it's closer to being back. Brett, as always, we appreciate it. Have a wonderful football weekend.
Yeah, thanks, Gary. Appreciate it.
That's Brett Ciancia. He joins us every Friday to break down the slate in college football. And, of course, you can follow him and the great crew at Pick Six Previews on Twitter at Pick Six Previews. ESPN just continues to keep showing the highlight of Ohio State going up 48-0 last year. Wow, there was so much about that game that is just disturbing. From the talent gap to just dumb stuff Nebraska did in that game. They were a distinct underdog in that game. But gosh, we do it to ourselves. Had a chance 2 years ago, did it to yourself. We'll see if in the first game of the year, what kind of mistakes prop up and how quickly you overcome them. All right, last hour is here. Dirk Challen from the World Herald is next.